Gama Gova Sierra Madres. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from Jalisco, Mexico. We have taken an extended break for quite some time. Sorry about that. It started with some technical glitches, continued due to travel and sloth, but we're back in the saddle now. Very big apologies. We'll try not to do it again. Today is Thursday, the 5th of March. On this date in 1616, on the Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres by Nicholas Copernicus, is banned by the Catholic Church. 1836, Samuel Colt patents the first production model Colt revolver, the 34 caliber. 1842, over 500 Mexican troops led by Rafael Velasquez invade the Republic of Texas, briefly occupy San Antonio, and then head back to the Rio Grande. 1933, the Nazi Party receives 44% at the Reichstag elections. This allows the Nazis to pass the Enabling Act and establish a dictatorship. 1940, six high-ranking members of the Soviet Politburo, including Secretary General Joseph Stalin, sign an order for the execution of 25,700 Polish intelligentsia, including 14,700 Polish prisoners of war, in what will become known as the Katyn Massacre. 1946, Churchill delivers the Iron Curtain speech at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, with President Harry Truman on the stage. 1965, a leftist uprising erupts in Bahrain against British colonial presence after hundreds of oil workers were fired. It is crushed, like all leftist uprisings related to labor disputes in that era in the Arab world. Remember leftist uprisings in the Middle East? Those were the days. 1963, after being released in 1958, the WAMO patents the hula hoop. In 1970, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty goes into effect after ratification by 43 nations. 2012, Invisible Children launches the Stop Kony campaign in the release of Kony 2012. Remember that little mini-drama? Birthdays are illustrator Howard Pyle, architect Louis Kahn, former Spanish Prime Minister Felipe González, revolutionary Rosa Luxemburg, oldest living human being Misao Okawa, parliamentary speaker Dato Usupashvili, and famous writer and man-about-town Gyorgy Lomsadze. On this date in 1953, Joseph Stalin dies, and 60 years later, in 2013, Hugo Chavez dies. Today, Purim ends in Israel, and it is National Tree Planting Day in Iran. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this has been drafted by Ari Swieka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepeelpod.com or send us an email at tepeelpod@gmail.com. Sepia Carta asks about Misha, Orban, and Putin. So, Misha, Zuradishvili, a bunch of other people have been hanging around Hungary and are tight with Orban, and they've expressed, I don't know, mutual, I don't know what, for each other. Orban has ignored some Interpol requests for some of those people. Yet Orban is tight with Putin. The transformation of Orban over the period of his term and how he has conceived of Hungary and how it's changed over time, as well as, of course, Misha's transformation, is a fascinating thing. I think in the end they were sort of strong, headstrong individuals, they all seem to get along, or Misha gets along with Orban, and Orban gets along with Putin. Other than that, those types tend to grow together in some ways, although, what's going to happen with Orban, seeing as he's in the EU, is a different question. Misha, of course, is, hanging around Williamsburg and whatever else, but as we will see later, is now officially Poroshenko's advisor. So I'll go over some of the stories from the last 2-3 weeks. Misha is now officially Poroshenko's advisor. He does not have Ukrainian citizenship, but we'll be spending more time in Kiev. President Mark Velashvili named Nino Benetadze is a candidate for the post of the Supreme Court chair. She's been critical of Misha's control of the courts when he consolidated control over courts, and the last few judges to go were pretty angry about it. U.S. State Department big shot Victoria Nuland was in Tbilisi, as was the head of the Bundestag, Norbert Lemmert. Parliamentary chair Dato Usupashvili went to Armenia and Croatia and is currently in the U.S. Very much worth reading Kvitis Palitra interview with Bettina Ivanishvili, in which he criticizes the Republican Party for stirring things up. Tbilisi will build a big waste processing plant. A government worker safety commission was set up. The IFC is issuing lari-denominated bonds. The lari continued to drop to 2.26, but has recovered a bit and is now at, I think, 2.15 to the U.S. dollar. Otsneba, or the Georgian Dream, lost its majority in the Ajara Supreme Council, which is sort of the Ajara Parliament. Several Free Democrats resigned from their leadership positions in the national parliament after a dispute with the bigger Otsneba umbrella entity. Rapporteur for the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Spanish lawmaker Pedro Agrumunt, called on the Georgian authorities not to use pretrial detention to settle political scores. The ombudsman said that lifting the heritage status of the Sakdrisi gold mine in Bolnisi was illegal. A blueberry plantation and processing plant covering 70 hectares of land will soon be established in the Guria region. Partnership fund is involved. Parliament prolonged the State Commission on the Constitution for 6 months, so there's going to be more months of discussion and probably not a whole lot to look at until maybe September. On to this week's news. Following up on the state of the lari, on the 26th of February, BI blamed the National Bank's president, Giorgi Kataghidze, for the devaluation of the lari. In a statement, his NGO, Society 2030, said that it is Kataghidze's inaction and wrongdoing that dragged us into the crisis and that Kataghidze significantly impaired the credibility of the current government. BI hinted that it is because Kataghidze has alleged ties with the UNM. Kataghidze was appointed in 2009 when the UNM was in power for a seven-year term. The same day, on the 26th of February, there were several demonstrations in Tbilisi blaming the government for the lari crisis and demanding the government to step down. On the 27th of February, Kataghidze announced that the National Bank will not spend its foreign currency reserves to stabilize the lari, despite the 30% drop in value. He explained that it would be inappropriate and counterproductive. He is, of course, right, and BI is wrong. If they spent the foreign reserves, it would drive up lari, the cost of borrowing money for the government, and would not do anything to support the lari, in my view. Georgia has a monetary policy where the currency is allowed to float freely, but the National Bank must ensure a stable inflation rate, which is very important. Target is set at 5% in 2015. BI has proposed that the National Bank should sell more of its reserves to keep the lari steady, like other South Caucasian countries have done. Kataghidze said instead that, quote, now is not the right time to place blame or go looking for scapegoats, end quote. He said the lari devaluation was a result of fundamental economic factors. After BI's statement, other people in the Georgian Dream are criticizing Kataghidze, and there's discussions of impeachment. Kataghidze is obliged by law to present the bank's annual report in May, but the report is about last year, so many expect the parliament will bring the issue up sooner. Members of parliament, Manana Kobakhidze, also from Otsneba, said that the parliament's economic committee will discuss the impeachment issue. According to legislation, only parliament can impeach the National Bank president, and it requires the support of at least a third of lawmakers in order to raise the issue of impeachment. The National Bank president must be accused of violating the Constitution or the criminal code. According to constitutional analyst Zurab Djibrashvili, the accusation that Kataghidze didn't take timely steps to overcome the crisis may be considered negligence on the job, which is a criminal violation, but it'll be a little difficult to prove. As a note, earlier this year, the Banker magazine awarded Kataghidze Central Banker of the Year for Europe. Kataghidze is right and BI is wrong. A mission for the International Monetary Fund visited Georgia from the 23rd of February to the 4th of March. Mark Griffiths, who led the IMF mission, said that in order to limit the increase in the budget deficit, the government will have to cut spending or increase taxes, or both, that spending on social safety programs should be maintained, and that, quote, targeting should be improved to protect the vulnerable and the poor, end quote. And the IMF mission also said that it fully supports the policy of the National Bank in refraining from intervening in the foreign exchange market and allowing the lari to float. The former head of CARTU said he has been bribed, this IMF guy, by the UNM. On the 26th of February, Georgia and Russia resumed economic and humanitarian talks in Prague after a four-month break. Georgia's special envoy, Zura Abashidze, and Russia's foreign minister, Grigory Karasin, discussed regulating the Swiss-brokered trade and customs agreement signed in 2011. They also discussed reopening the railway through Abkhazia, which connects Georgia and Russia. The railway was closed in the 1990s. It's one of the two rail links Russia had with the South Caucasus. The other line through Azerbaijan runs through the North Caucasus republics. As a reminder, the week before the talks, Abashidze said that Russia should not be worried about Georgia's cooperation with NATO because Georgia's NATO ascension will not happen anytime soon. He received criticism from a number of sides in Georgia for obscuring Georgia's foreign policy goals regarding NATO. UNM announced it will hold a protest rally on Rustavelli Avenue in Tbilisi on the 21st of March to demand the resignation of the government. The announcement came after Parliament failed to host a special session arranged by the UNM to debate the country's economic situation. More on that in our parliamentary news. Member of Parliament and Executive Secretary of the UNM, Zurab Japaridze, accused the government and Georgian Dream of being completely irresponsible for not showing up to the special parliamentary session while the economy is on the verge of collapse. He said the government is inactive and has no clear-cut plan, and called on all citizens who feel insulted and deceived by this government to join the rally on the 21st of March. According to reporting from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, the European Commission is questioning whether to drop its European neighborhood policy and appears open to the possibility of closer cooperation with Russia. A draft document titled Towards a New Neighborhood Policy was presented to EU states on the 4th of March by EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini and Neighborhood Commissioner Johannes Hahn. The EU Commission also hints at the possibility of playing a larger role in frozen conflicts in the former Soviet space. What that would mean is anybody's guess. Also, on the 4th of March, French President François Hollande commented that France maintains that NATO's enlargement should temporarily cease and that enlargement is not in the agenda. Foreign Minister Tomrico Berichashvili spoke at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva on the 2nd of March. He called on Russia to stop its aggressive policies against other countries and said that Moscow's aggression against Ukraine is not an isolated case. Prime Minister Khadabashvili was in Brussels on the 26th of February to meet with EU officials. During the meetings, he said that Georgia is committed to fulfill all the requirements under the Visa Liberalization Action Plan with the EU and expects the European Commission will recommend a visa waiver at the Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga in May. I'm not sure that's going to happen, actually. I think it might take a little bit longer from what I've heard. As a note, if the European Commission recommends the lifting of visa requirements for Georgia, it must then be approved by the European Parliament and the EU member states to come into force. He also reiterated that the process of Georgia's European and Euro-Atlantic integration is irreversible. During the visit, the President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, called on Georgia to advance substantially its reforms, including the rule of law in the judiciary and prosecutor's office, and to foster a political climate of respect. After Brussels Prime Minister Khadabashvili was in Bucharest for talks with his Romanian counterpart Ponta on the 27th of February, they discussed energy and transportation projects, including the Agri Liquefied Natural Gas Transportation Project. Agri stands for Azerbaijan-Georgia-Romania-Hungary Interconnector. It envisages gas delivery via pipelines to a terminal in Kulevi on Georgia's Black Sea coast, where it will be liquefied and shipped by tankers to the Romanian Black Sea port of Constanta and regasified to supply it to consumers in Europe. That'd be cool. Following up on previous week's stories, the Tbilisi court ruled on the 3rd of March that the Sakhnidisi gold mine near Bolnisi should have remained a protected heritage site. The Ministry of Culture lost its appeal in the case about lifting Sakhnidisi's protected status. The Culture Ministry now has 21 days to appeal the ruling, which will take the case to the Supreme Court. As a reminder, Tbilisi City Court decided in the summer of 2014 that the Culture Ministry was wrong when it lifted the mine's protected status a year earlier. Work on the mine was halted pending the appeal, but in December 2014, an agency under the Culture Ministry unilaterally overruled the court's decision, which allowed the mining company RMG Gold to continue with mining blasts, destroying the archaeological parts of the mine, probably intentionally. It is, by the way, the oldest gold mine in the world. Parliament agreed in December 2014 to set up an inquest into the destruction of Sakhnidisi. On the 4th of March, most of the lawmakers from Georgian Dream ruling coalition refused to vote for the composition of the investigative commission, effectively blocking the probe. A vote endorsing proposed members for the ad hoc parliamentary investigative commission was the second stage of a two-step procedure required for setting up the commission. The Republican Party and National Forum lawmakers voted in favor, however, together with opposition members of parliament from the UNM and Free Democrats Party. 55 MPs voted in favor, but it was 21 short of the required 76 needed to approve the commission. All of this is happening is because BI is behind the deal, evidently, with the Russian company that is involved there. The prosecutor's office has a new department to handle complaints filed since 2012 of criminal cases committed by public servants. Most of the cases are over alleged seizures of property by the state and ill treatment of prisoners, mostly regard alleged wrongdoings committed by officials when the UNM was in power. The unit, The new unit is headed by Prosecutor Irakli Nadareishvili, who led the prosecution in some of the high-profile cases against former senior officials, among them former Interior Minister Vano Merabashvili. The new unit is made up of a head, deputy head, and four prosecutors and 10 investigators. They claim to have 10,300 complaints. Prime Minister Garabashvili attended the official presentation of the new unit. Speaking at the event, he said a lot has to be done for the restoration of justice since the Georgian Green came to power, but that many cases still remain to be investigated. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri also said that people who had their properties illegally confiscated by the previous government will have their land returned or be compensated for their loss. He said that currently there are about 700 properties in state possession that are believed to have been illegally seized. Reportedly, the prosecutor's office has systematized and sorted all the cases. Yeah, the prosecutor's office. We'll see. According to the first deputy minister of agriculture, Nodar Keresilidze, Georgia has reached an agreement on exporting agricultural products to Russia. Plans are underway to arrange a visit of Russian phytosanitary experts to review the health of plants. This is all very important because when Russia decides it wants to hurt somebody that via imports, they always say it's a health problem with Georgian wine or Polish chickens or whatever else. I mean, it's completely political, but they have to pretend that this is real. Discussions between Georgia and Russia regarding agricultural products and trade opportunities began in January at the Green Week 2015 event in Berlin. Within the framework of Green Week, the head of the National Food Agency, Zazodolidze, signed an agreement before exporting to the Russian market. Georgia projects have to undergo strict analysis at the Russell Kolzdaznor plant quarantine centers. On another note, the Ministry of Agriculture is working on the Agricultural Industries Information Guide. The guide will officially be published in 2 months in English and Georgian and will be available on the Ministry's website. It's intended for investors and farmers and will provide detailed information about the country's agricultural industry, such as soil analysis and the crops and produce that can be cultivated, and will also describe the sector's infrastructure, such as the location of roads, gas, electricity, and the irrigation system. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzubashvili is on a week-long visit to the United States. On the 2nd of March, he met with U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland. She visited Tbilisi last month. He also had meetings with members of Congress and will speak at the Atlantic Council and Georgetown University. Misha was also in the U.S. this week, meeting with lawmakers in Washington, but to discuss increasing legislative pressure to provide weapons to Ukraine. Georgian Dream received almost 82% of all political donations in Georgia in 2014. In total, 7.4 million lari was donated to political parties and subjects in 2014. According to the new report published by the State Audit Office, the government body tasked with tracking the financial activities of political subjects. The report showed that the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia Party received about 6.1 million lari. Next on the list is Nino Borjanaje's United Democratic Movement, which received about 342,000 lari. UNM is in third place with around 300,000 lari in donations, followed by the Alliance of Patriots with 237,300 lari, and Georgia's Way with 88,000 lari. According to the report, the majority of those who donated are parliamentarians. Member of Parliament Valery Gerashvili donated 60,000 lari to Georgian Dream, Zurab Khemeladze 50,000, Gogi Tobadze 60,000, Victor Japaridze 50,000, Nino Borjanadze donated 30,000 to her own party, while businessman Pridon Ingia donated 50,000 to the same party. Remember Pridon Ingia? Wow. Amazing that he's still in circulation. NATO's Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, Breedlove, said it was essential for the U.S. to offer support to Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova in light of the ongoing instability in the region. In a report, he said that the three countries require deep institutional reform to efficiently generate, organize, equip, and sustain their armed forces. In the evening of the 4th of March, a photojournalist was beaten while covering a political demonstration against the falling lari at the Rose Revolution Square in Tbilisi. The rally was organized by the Reformers, Free Georgia, and Christian Democratic Movement. Demonstrator accused the journalist Gedenidze of provocation and attacked him. Info9.ge released a video of the beating, which shows that the man who beat Gedenidze later sits down in a car with a banner of the political group Free Georgia. The Interior Ministry is investigating the incident for beating based on Section 125 of the Criminal Code, which is punishable by a 2,000 lari fine or public labor. Public labor, that sounds kind of nutty. Group Free Georgia later condemned the violence after gathering at Rose Revolution Square. The protesters marched up to BI's business center. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 28th of February, the body of Georgian 19-year-old who was found hanging from a tree in a small village in South Ossetia in January was handed over to Georgian authorities. The transfer came following discussions between the two sides about problems caused by the barbed wire and fences installed in villages near the border. Next meeting of the EUMM's incident prevention and response mechanisms will be on the 25th of March. According to information received by Interpress News from numerous supermarkets, prices have increased on many kinds of food products because of the devaluation of the lari. They say the price of cooking oil has increased on average by 50 tetri, prices on sugar and buckwheat by more than 25 tetri, as well as for sweets, coffee, salt, and alcoholic beverages, and Coca-Cola products increased in price by 10 to 25 tetri. Ministry of Justice is in the second stage of updating the country's electoral list for the 2016 parliamentary elections. Now the National Agency Public Registry is collaborating with the Public Service Development Agency to compare the database to identify and correct discrepancies and errors, such as voters not having their names accompanied by photographs and deceased persons still being on the list. There's also incidences in the regions where streets don't have names, homes without numbers, making it difficult to identify a person in a voting station. Georgia will be an observer country in the NATO annual crisis management exercise 2015, which will take place between the 4th and 10th of March. Leader of South Ossetia, Leonid Tibilov, spoke out against residents traveling to Georgia for medical treatment. He said that South Ossetia has to develop its own medical centers and attract specialists. According to their health care minister, there's a government decree against going to Georgian hospitals unless there's special circumstances, but no one really heeds it. That's funny. Under the presidential administration initiative, a photography studio will soon open in the school in Duisi in Pankisi Gorge. The studio will be led by Georgian photographer Natella Grigalashvili, and students from nearby villages will also be invited to attend her classes. The courses will last 6 months and finish with a photo exhibit. Georgian archer Khatuna Narimanze won a silver medal at the European Indoor Archery Championship, which took place in the Slovenian city of Koper. The Georgian archery team, which includes three archers, ranked second overall in the team competition and received a silver medal. Four villages in Gori municipality near the administrative border with South Ossetia are now supplied with gas from Azerbaijani gas distribution company Sokar. Meanwhile, more than 33 villages in Shitakartli region will be connected with gas for free after the central government allocated 19 million lari to the project. In December 2014, Sokar Georgia Gas signed an agreement with Energy and Economy Ministries to connect 100,000 rural Georgian families with natural gas until 2017. Authorities said it was urgent to connect the villages with gas since locals are often detained by Russian border guards when they're out gathering firewood. The 3rd of March was public holiday for Georgia for Mother's Day. There's also Women's Day on the 8th of March. The president pardoned 8 female prisoners in connection with Mother's Day from the women's prison in Rustavi. 4 will be released. The other 4 had their sentences reduced by half. In parliamentary news, on Saturday, the 28th of February, Parliament failed to hold a special session requested by the UNM to debate the country's economic situation due to lack of quorum. Georgian Dream lawmakers boycotted the session. At least 38 members of Parliament are needed to request in writing from the President to convene an extraordinary session of Parliament. UNM parliamentary faction requested last week. President Mark Nashvili rejected the request, saying that they should give the government until at least the 5th of March to present a detailed plan on how to tackle the problems related to the depreciation of the lari. Even so, the Constitution gives Parliament the right to schedule a special session even when the President is against it. At least 76 MPs are needed for the session to open, but only 42 lawmakers were present on the 28th of February from the UNM and Free Democrats. As part of the special session, the UNM prepared a proposal for overcoming the crisis, which they titled 36 Steps for a European Georgia. The proposal calls on the government to end strict regulations on foreigners and in Georgia, and to curtail bureaucracy. It also offers to cut income tax from 20 to 15%, cut value-added tax from 18 to 16%, to scrap tax from dividends or royalty, as well as excise tax on fuel, and to reduce excise tax on tobacco and alcohol. The meme this week is an extract of George Kennan's impressions of Georgia from 1936 going around Facebook. He writes that, quote, "The Georgians are a lazy, dirty, tricky, fiercely proud, and recklessly brave people. They never seem to work unless they have to. The Transcaucasus is the spiritual home of the drugstore cowboy. The streets are packed with loafers. At all hours of the day, the rest of the blog is out and things to read." Alternative meme is someone found a Harry Potter book published in Georgian but with the title Under the Orthodox Vision, and the alleged publisher is the Orthodox Church, the Orthodox Christian Library, which is weird. A photoshopped image of UNM Member of Parliament Zura Japaridze onto the Hunger Games Mockingjay poster. It's a play on words of his nickname with the name of the film. It was made by another UNM member, apparently to demonstrate Japaridze's nobleness in the fight against Otsneva. Stuff to Read, blog chronicling foreigners who come to Georgia and their impressions of the country. Will Cathcart for the Daily Beast argues that Putin's goal is not the Donbass, but controlling the Black Sea, and hence the Rosneft business in the Poti oil port. Definitely worth reading. That's a good article. Kiev Post profiles Mamulashvili, Georgian fighting in eastern Ukraine. An article in the BBC that looks at political satire in Azerbaijan from a century ago, which is really, really interesting. Focused on one magazine, that's really cool. Washington Post writes on the growing desire for Georgian cuisine in D.C. This week's CRC blog looks at violence against women in Azerbaijan. Georgian Journal brings the story of Prince Machiavelli, his life perfumery he founded in the U.S. in the 1920s. Georgian Journal interviews a former head of the National Bank who says the lari dropping is not the bank's fault. It's a result of the government's inability to bring in foreign investment. Great piece by the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, breaks down government hotel and restaurant expenses over the past 2 years. Fascinating reading. Variety has a quick overview on the who's who in the new Ali and Nino film, which is being filmed in Azerbaijan. Microsoft's new Russian ad for Lumia is set in Tbilisi and shows lovers on the Peace Bridge. It's a kind of interesting ad that Microsoft would do that. But anyway, check it out. Watch an aerial tour of Tbilisi by drone. All these things to read will be posted in the forum. This week's geo capital number is 9%, which is how much Georgia external merchandise trade decreased in January 2015 year on year compared to January 2014, according to Geostat. Value of exports decreased by 30%, while the value of import decreased by 1% with respect to January last year. For those in London, there'll be a Khajapuri making workshop on the 14th of March at the restaurant Tbilisi from 12 to 2. Class costs £20. Write to Anna_Mironova@yahoo.com. Also in London, Wouter van Stielend from Batumi Raptor Count will be giving a talk about the Nature Conservation NGO and their project where they will count raptors, which is just a very cool project. It'll be held at the Royal Drawing School's gallery space on Tuesday the 24th of March at 6:45 p.m. RSVP at info@BritishGeorgianSociety.org. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at spielpod.com. And we'll finish with, from 1997, El Hombre Más Famoso de la Tierra, this is Meron Cumbiazo.
María, en este momento te voy a tirar en la cama a darte unos cuantos puyazos de amor. De amor. Puyazos de amor.
Latina, te mando besos, fiesta, salud, amor y besos. Sigo bailando, vamos a bailar. barrio. Cuando el sol alumbra el barrio, pa' ciudadano, verano es fiesta, el merencumbia party comienza.
Famoso de la tierra, fula, no de tales.